storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispers, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow arise, where the storms never darken the sky. When the long night has ended and the storm comes no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, keep me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen. Amen. And that was a blessing. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Stand with me and we shall begin to read in verse number 26 and read through verse 29. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Now I want to speak tonight for just a few minutes on some unusual tools and servants used by God. Unusual tools and servants that have been used by God. Heavenly Father, I need your help tonight as I bring the message. I pray that you'd help my voice not to give out. Help me, Lord, to be able to speak clearly and plainly those things that you've given me to say. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, when I read this verse, I believe you had my own life in mind when you put it down. Thank you, Father, that serving you is not dependent upon talent and ability, but upon a heart that's yielded to you. Thank you that you'll use nobodies to do something for you. Now, Lord, help us tonight to realize what a privilege we have, because you have not chosen to use the mighty or the wise or the noble. It makes it possible for all of us to have a part and a place in your plan and a way we can serve you. Help us to look at our own life and see if we're doing the best we can with what we have. And are we depending on you? Are we giving you the glory and the praise for anything that shall be accomplished in our life and through our life? Lord, we love you. We realize that without you, we're nothing. Without you, we have no hope of heaven. Without you, we don't have a life worth living or a future to look forward to. But with you, you can save our wretched, hell-deserving soul, clean us up, empower us by your Spirit, and use us for your glory. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When we begin to think about people and things that God has used, our mind naturally thinks about God choosing servants that are accomplished, servants that are the most talented, or the most intelligent, or the most appealing, as his servants are tools. However, the exact opposite is true. What we've read tonight is we've read the fact that God has said, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise after the flesh are called. But God hath chosen to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen to use the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. And he said he's doing this so no flesh can glory in ourselves. We have to give the glory to God. And by the way, God deserves the glory. God ought to receive glory. By the way, have you any of you thanked him for last Sunday? You know, we had 1,331 in Sunday school. Had the highest offering in the history of our church last Sunday. $74,229, I believe, came in. That's something to rejoice about. But more important than that, we had a great number saved and a great number baptized. We had 40 adults on our buses Sunday. And look who's got, look who it is that God is using. Just plain old ordinary nobodies except for Jesus Christ. If you or me become somebody, it's because Jesus is in us. And he's made it possible for us to do for him what we could have never done by ourselves. God explains this and shows us by example when he chose Zerubbabel to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. It was a job greater than Zerubbabel could do. But God said, Zerubbabel, I'm making you this promise. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. In our scripture reading for tonight, God reminds us again that he's not looking for the mighty man or woman. He's not looking for the greatest. He's not looking for the most intelligent or the most talented or the most handsome or the most beautiful. He's looking for those who will yield to him, who will obey him and serve him and give him the glory for anything that's accomplished in their life and ministry. Our scripture that we've read tonight reminds us that not one person has a right to excuse himself when God calls. Not one person. Now, we've all made excuses. Moses did. I have. You have too. But when we're willing to yield ourselves to God and obey him, we see God take a nobody and do something we had never dreamed that could be done with our lives. Now, the Bible says that It didn't say that he didn't call any mighty. He didn't say that he would not call some who are wise and some who are noble. He says not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. Most of the servants of God and most of the tools that God uses to accomplish his purpose are so unusual that we have to acknowledge it's God that's doing it. It's God. And that's the way God wants it. That's the way it ought to be done. And by the way, if you're taking credit for what's being accomplished, you're not right with God. Tonight I want to point out some unusual tools and servants that God has used for his glory to accomplish his will and purpose. And I want you to think each time that if God can use these things, why can't he use you? After Samson had caught 300 foxes and he tied their tails together two by two and he put firebrands onto their tails and set them loose in the grain fields, he burned up the harvest of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, we're going to come against him. We're going to destroy him. And Samson was one man. He looked around for something to use and found the jawbone of an ass. And he took it. And a man that was not completely right with God, and I don't know of a better way to characterize Samson. If they were Baptist in the Old Testament, Samson would have been one. Wasn't completely right with God, but he picked up that jawbone of an ass and he met the Philistines, and when he got through, God had killed 1,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass. Don't you think if God could use the jawbone of a donkey, he could use you? Don't you think if he could use a man that was not completely right with God? Best thing that the scripture says about Samson is that he began to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Then I think of Moses. God says, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. You can read about it in Exodus 4. And I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, they're not going to listen to me. Who am I going to tell them sent me? And God said, tell them I am sent me. He said, what am I going to do to prove that? And God said, Moses, what you got in your hand? He said, it's a rod. God said, Moses, throw it down. Moses threw it down. It became a serpent. God says, Moses, pick it up. And Moses said, what? That's what some of you do when God asks you to serve him. Moses picked it up and it became a rod again. And God said, Moses, that rod's going to be a sign to you. I'm going to use you and that rod. You look at Moses' life and Moses' ministry. Everywhere he went, he took that rod with him. Many of the plagues that were brought upon Egypt, he used the rod in pronouncing the plague. He used the rod to touch the Red Sea. When they were out in the desert and needed water to drink, he used the rod to smite the rock. And if God could use a stick, that's what that rod was, a stick. If he could use a stick in the hands of Moses, don't you think he could use you if you'd yield yourself to God and put yourself in his hands? When God had a giant to conquer, he didn't call out the big army. They were hiding. He called out a shepherd boy. They didn't have grenade launchers. They did not have F-22s or stealth fighters. God, what are you going to do to bring that giant down? Well, I've got a little shepherd boy I'm going to use. He came down to see his brothers. And they were hiding, and the giant was mocking God and God's people. And David said, is there not a cause? The brothers mocked him. David said, I'll go. I'll go. Saul said, use my armor. And David tried it and said, no, it's not mine. I'll use this slingshot and five smooth stones. God took that little shepherd boy with a slingshot. A slingshot. You know the story. When put in the hand of God, it was enough to topple the giant. Don't you think if God could use a slingshot in the hand of a shepherd boy, He could use me and you if we'd yield our life to Him and learn to trust Him and obey Him? There was a Canaanite king who kept oppressing the children of Israel. You can read about this in Judges chapter 4. This Canaanite king, his name was Jael, or Sisera. God had a little woman, Jael, and she used a nail and a hammer and a glass of milk to conquer the Canaanite king that was running havoc over God's people. He came into her tent. She gave him a glass of milk and a pallet to lay down. And when he dozed off, she took that hammer in one hand, that big nail in another, a tent spike. Put it up to his temple and she nailed that sucker. Now if God could use a little woman against a great warrior king, and her only tool was a glass of milk, no telling what she could have done if she had had an Oreo to go with it. But a little woman and a glass of milk, a hammer and a nail, and she conquered the enemy. If God could use a little woman and a hammer and a nail to defeat that great warrior Canaanite king, don't you suspect that God could use you too? If you'd say, Lord, here am I. Use me. You see, God calls us, we just don't go. God asks us to serve Him, we just don't respond. There's some Canaanite kings that's visiting our tent. We make friends with them. There's some giants that need to be toppled. But where are the Davids with a slingshot ready to dedicate it to God? There's some men out there that could use a stick. You've got something that is as insignificant as a shepherd's staff that God could bless and use for Him if you'd dedicate yourself to Him. I'm here to tell you there's a lot more being called than is answering God's call. Some of you are sitting back because you feel like that you're not the greatest. So because you can't do anything big, you think you'll do nothing. And yet, it is God that's asking us to serve Him. It's God that's wanting to use us. It's not by our power or by our might, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Simon Peter backslid, followed afar off, denied the Lord three times. God told him he would. Now, like many Baptists, Simon Peter thought, man, I'd never do that. But he did. He did. Jesus had told him, Simon, you see, Simon was bragging. Lord, you can count on me. I'll never leave you. Everybody else may forsake you, but I won't. I'd go to death for you. I'd go to prison for you. Jesus said, Simon, before the rooster crows in the morning, you'll deny me three times. They took Jesus. Simon followed afar off. He went over here beside of the enemy and warmed himself by their fire. And when they recognized him, he denied the Lord. Someone else recognized him and he denied the Lord the second time. Somebody else recognized him, and this time I know he's a Baptist because he cussed when they accused him of being one of his disciples. And about that time, the rooster crowed. God used a rooster to bring Simon Peter to the place where he'd get right with God. Now, if God, that rooster don't even have a soul. That rooster does not know anything about the love of our Heavenly Father. That rooster has no promise of heaven or hell. But when the Master had use of it, that rooster, right on time, obeyed God's call. Don't you think if God could use a rooster to accomplish his purpose, he could also use turkeys like us if we'd yield ourselves to him? You see, if that rooster had been a Baptist, that rooster, when it was time to crow, would have said, you know, like some of you, when God speaks and you're under conviction, but you won't obey. Back over in the Old Testament, Numbers 22, there's a prophet. I call him the two-faced prophet. He was with the enemy of God's people when it benefited him, and he was with God's people when it benefited him. Well, he was going to curse God's people for profit. And you know, God didn't send one of his great prophets to condemn him. You know what God used? A donkey. A donkey. A donkey drug him up the side of the rock, and then the donkey spoke and condemned him. Don't you think if God could use a donkey to accomplish his purpose, he could use me and you if we'd yield to him? You see, our problem is our hearts hardened against the will of God. We're living for ourselves. We refuse to hear his Holy Spirit when he speaks. Oh yes, we hear it, but we quench the Spirit. We grieve the Spirit by saying no. We think we know better than God, and we choose to live our life out of the will of God instead of seeing what great things God could do with us if we'd just learn to say, yes, Lord, I hear you, and I'm willing to serve. Well, if God could use a donkey, don't you think he could use you to drive a bus? Or to teach a class of 5 or 6 or 10 boys or girls? Or if God could use a donkey, don't you think he could use you to captain a bus? If we'd just learn to say, yes, Lord, here am I. Use me. Well, there's no backslidden preacher named Jonah. How are you going to get Jonah right? A storm and a fish. God used a fish. That fish was more effective in getting Jonah right than many of the preachers today would have been. God used a little boy to feed 5,000, little boy's lunch to feed 5,000 men and women and children. 5,000 men plus the women and children. Couldn't God do great things with you if you'd just say, Lord, I'm not much, but I've got a little lunch. I'm not much, but you could have what I've got, what I am. You know, this story is so important, God put it in all four of the Gospels. If God could use this little boy and his lunch to feed those thousands of people, don't you think God could use you to teach 10 little old boys or 10 little old girls, or to drive a bus, or even to preach his word? On two occasions in recent history, God used the children, the sons of drunkards, to do unbelievable works. God used J. Frank Norris. His daddy was a drunkard, poor, and yet that little old boy came out of a drunkard's home, and God used him to build the two largest churches in his day. A drunkard's boy. Another little drunkard's boy born down here at Italy, Texas, grew up in Oak Cliff, built the largest Sunday school in the world, averaged over 20,000. I'm talking about Dr. Hiles. Don't you think if God could use a little drunkard boy, that's just a nobody, he could use me and you also? Yes, he could, if we'd say, here am I, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, I give myself to you. The one thing common among all of these men, women, and women and things that I've mentioned, the one thing common is they all yielded to be used by the Master. The only reason why God has not used you in a great way is that you've not made yourself completely available to Him. You've not come to that place where you'd say, Lord, whatever you will that I do, I'm willing to do it. Instead, you want to tell God what to do. And you wonder why God's not using you. You want to control your own life instead of yield it to God, and wonder why your class doesn't grow or your bus route doesn't grow. You want to tell God when you want to be used and how you want to be used instead of allowing Him to do with you whatsoever you will. You want really God to be submissive to your plan instead of you being willing to be submissive to His. Some of you want to serve God in the church and still do your thing on MySpace or some other chat room. Some of you want to live a virtual life of make-believe instead of facing life with all its realities. You live your let's pretend life and you'll never be able to have a strong marriage or a strong walk with God. I'm convinced God is calling young men and women and older men and women, and He's inviting far more of His children to serve Him in His church and to live for Him and to build marriages for Him and to raise their families for Him than those who are willing to yield to His call. Many are called, few are chosen. Who's chosen? Those who are willing to yield themselves to God and do it God's way. There are four things God's asking of me and you in order that He might use us and allow us to bear His testimony. First of all, He wants us as Christians to be clean. to be clean. Clean mind, clean heart, clean walk. I'm not talking about cleaning up with a good brand of soap and water. I'm talking about getting clean through the blood of Jesus. Yielding to His word and His will. He asks us to be clean. We want His Holy Spirit to fill us. We want that who is holy, 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 to fill a vessel that's willfully holding on to filth and worldliness and carnality, jealousy and bitterness, and envy and strife. He wants us to be clean. Secondly, He wants us to be available. Available. I've said often that the greatest ability God is looking for is availability. Every one of you, like me, at one time or another, you've tried to drive a nail with the heel of your shoe or with a crescent wrench or something, the end of a screwdriver. You know why? It's available. It was available. The hammer wasn't available. It was, so you picked it up and you tried to use it. God's looking for somebody that's available. He should never have to chase us down like He did Jonah. We ought to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Secondly, He's looking for someone who is submissive. First principle of discipleship is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Submissive, not my will, thine be done. Submissive, Lord, here am I. Use me. Fourthly, He's looking for Christians who will be obedient. Christians that not walk down the aisle and say, now Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. Sure would appreciate if you'd come along with me. No, He's looking for men and women and boys and girls like Saul. I'm talking about Saul of Tarsus while still flat of his back on the desert sand, having just gotten saved. He said, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? And that statement characterizes the rest of Paul's life and ministry. He's looking for those that'll be obedient. Those that'll be obedient. You see it again in Acts 16 when Paul had his plans to go into Asia and God said, no, Paul, I want you to go over here to Macedonia, into Europe. And when Paul understood the will of God, the Bible says immediately they changed their course. Their course became the course God set for them. God's looking for those that'll be clean, those that'll be available, those that'll be submissive, those that'll be obedient. How about you? How about you? It's been a while since we've had somebody walk the aisle and say, God, I surrender my life to Your call. God, I surrender my life to Your will. I have young people come visit me, telling me what they're going to do with their life. I wonder, have they even asked God, what do You want me to do? What would please You? What is Your will for my life? Will you be that man, woman, boy, or girl that'll be obedient to His heavenly call? He can use you. There's a place in His church and His will and His ministry for you to serve Him. When I was a little boy growing up during the Second World War, we'd go to town on Saturdays to buy groceries. That's the only time we went to town. And then you had to take the coupon books if you had any. You couldn't buy sugar without a sugar stamp. You couldn't buy tires for a car without a stamp. Couldn't buy gasoline without a stamp. And we'd take all of our little stamps and coupons and go to town and try to buy enough groceries to last a week. And I never did forget Uncle Sam outside of the post office on that billboard. I want you. Man, I'd walk down the street and I'd walk around it. I already had a brother killed in the Second World War. But may I say to you, it's not Uncle Sam saying, I want you. It's our Heavenly Father who gave His Son to die for us on the old rugged cross. It's Jesus who saved us and loves us and can give us the greatest life we've ever known, beyond anything we've ever dreamed. Oh, my soul, what a great day it was when God reached down and touched the heart of that little country boy and gave him a life worth living and a future worth looking forward to. Oh, my only regret is I didn't say, yes, Lord, sooner, earlier. What's God asking you to do? I promise you that He's not asking you to sit and do nothing. If you're His child, He's asking you to occupy till He comes. That means keep on doing His business. Now, some of you need to get involved in His business. Some of you need to find a place of ministry and get busy serving Him. If it's an usher, then be glad to be an usher. If it's a doorkeeper, be glad to be a doorkeeper. If it's a bus driver, be glad to be used of God to drive a bus for Him. If it's a bus captain or a Sunday school teacher or a choir member, find a place. And let God use you to your fullest potential. You've never thought or dreamed about what God could do with your life if you'd put it in your hands. You're going to be as amazed as some of those people we talked about when God used them greatly. First, you've got to be willing to yield to His will and yield to His call. Father, that's our message tonight. I'm so grateful, Father, that You did not choose